ladies and gentlemen. First of all, I'd like to express my heartiest appreciation for the celebration of an exceptional man who led NATO in years of great difficulties and challenges. In the 7 years of his tenure as Secretary General, Brosio witnessed significant events and had to deal with crises affecting security and East-West relations. Those were the years of confrontation between the Soviet Union and NATO on nuclear deterrence, of the German issue, of the Warsaw Pact invasion of Czechoslovakia, and of tensions in the Mediterranean and the Middle East, to name just a few of the matters the alliance had to face. At the same time, it had to adapt its strategies to respond to the threats to the security of its members while dealing with its transfer from Paris to Brussels. However, those were also the years of the Harmel Report, of the policy of detente, and of the alliance's resolve to address its future tasks, attaching greater emphasis to its political dimension and to the need to deepen and improve consultations among allies. Brosio had the unique privilege to help shape those policies and influence relevant decisions. Throughout that extremely difficult time, his main purpose was to maintain the unity of the alliance, and he did so with the utmost dedication, well aware that the ideals of democracy, peace, and liberty, which he held sacred, were at stake. 25 years after his death, I would like to recall the moral rectitude and coherence of the politician, diplomat, and statesman, who, when the First World War broke out, although strongly opposed to Italy's involvement, voluntarily enlisted in the army and was awarded a medal for his military bravery. After the war, he entered politics, soon becoming a leading figure within the so-called liberal revolution, a movement created by a young left-leaning liberal called Piero Gobetti. This first period of political activity was devoted to anti-fascism. He became a member of the National Liberation Committee. His early political activity allowed him to prove that high sense of ethics which marked his entire life. After Second World War, he became Secretary General of the Italian Liberal Party and held various governmental offices, having also been one of my predecessors in 1945-46 in what was then called the War Ministry. In January 47, he was appointed ambassador to the Soviet Union, where he played an important role in negotiating the peace treaty, as well as in drafting the first commercial agreement between Rome and Moscow. In the years that followed, he was also ambassador to London, Washington, and Paris. It was while holding these diplomatic offices that Brosio became a true master in consensus building, as you mentioned, Mr. Secretary General, something which proved extremely important in his work at NATO. This fundamental quality, combined with his solid adherence to the alliance's values, meant that he could achieve results without having to compromise on principles. He was regarded as a man capable of representing the expectations of all member states, whether large or small. These qualities were of paramount importance in a period marked by tensions on the alliance's unity. During his tenure, the doctrine of massive retaliation was replaced or turned into that of flexible response. And NATO's headquarters, as I said, moved from Paris to Brussels. It was the time, as I said before, of the two Germanys, of the war in the Middle East, of the Chinese atomic bomb, of the toughening of the Soviet Union's policies. It was this new scenario which saw the Soviet Union as the major threat to the values of liberal democracy that convinced Brosio to devote to anti-communism the same enthusiasm he had accorded to anti-fascism. It was, however, also the time for soul searching within NATO and for the need to combine military security with a policy of detente, to confirm the principle of mutual defense while establishing the premises for a dialogue between East and West in a quest to develop a multidisciplinary approach to security, promoting an improvement in relations with the Soviet Union and Eastern European countries while bearing in mind that the pursuit of detente could not be allowed to split the alliance. At the time, this new strategy, which looked beyond the Cold War, envisaging a different relationship with the countries of the Warsaw Pact, was proposed, few could have anticipated how deeply it was to influence the future of the world. Had Brosio been alive today, he would have witnessed the fulfillment of the far-sighted ambition he shared with Pierre Armel to assist the evolution of the alliance towards a better way to safeguard common security. The debate of the 1960s was essential in forming the alliance's policies, and it also helps to explain why NATO did not collapse with the end of the Cold War and why the alliance continued to develop from an integrated defense pact into an organization that can also deal with the broader management of security. In the 1960s, with the end of the Cold War, witnessed an increased public questioning of the relevance of NATO. The answer was found in expanding the organization's political functions by enhancing consultation among allies in order to strengthen its cohesion. Italy's contribution to the alliance has always been based, since Brosio's times, on the need to preserve and consolidate such a cohesion, which has become even more vital in the new global dimension of international relations. The common political and security challenges of our time underline the importance of NATO as the principal forum for consultation between Europe and North America, based on shared values and common interests. This concern was clearly the essence of Brosio's vision of NATO in his times and remains valid today. Our alliance needs both the capability to respond to crises once they arise, and a forward-looking strategy for the best use of multidimensional efforts of security cooperation. In conclusion, allow me to quote the citation in recognition of Brosio's outstanding contribution to peace when he received the Medal of Liberty from the United States. Distinguished diplomat, he has nobly served freedom in the world as Secretary General of the North Atlantic Treaty Organization. He has won the highest respect in his untiring work for both defense and detente, and he has performed his task with an exceptional skill, perseverance, and fairness. In his dedication to the COSOC Committee Among Nations, Brosio has shown that those who work to keep the peace are as blessed as the peacemakers. Likewise, the communique of the 1971 ministerial meeting of the North Atlantic Council underlined the exceptional capacity and balance shown by Brosio in often difficult circumstances and the patience and perseverance that characterized his work for defense and detente in Europe. In his vision, firmness in defense went together with dialogue. Such an approach proved instrumental in forging a new way forward in East-West relations, promoting their gradual evolution by constantly seeking elements that could bring positions together. When he left his ambassadorial office in Moscow, he wrote in his diary that, quote, political decision-making requires calm and consideration. When he faced critical moments, he addressed them with his conviction that the link between Europe and North America was vital and decisive for the alliance, and also a basis for jointly pursuing and accomplishing, as he put it, the unfulfilled mission of civilization, peace and freedom. I had the privilege of meeting him when he re-entered Italian politics, and I was highly impressed by this man, who had been a friend of my father's and about whom I'd heard so much. He was a true gentleman and a very principled man. He was ready to stand by his political ideals and would indignantly have rejected any suggestion of yielding on principles for personal gain. He was a rare man indeed. We still have much to learn from his guidance, and I'm therefore particularly grateful to you, Mr. Secretary General, for the opportunity given to me to say a few words on this occasion. Thank you.